So let's review. The pasuk says, "V'lo yarbo le'noshim le'yosel levavoy." The king shall not marry many wives, so that they shall not turn his heart astray. Zok the mishnah le'yarbo le'noshim el'shmeine esrei. The king may not marry more than 18 wives. Now the mishnah cites a machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mar behuloi ubavach le'yu mysteriousus liboy. He may marry additional wives as long as they are kasheres who will not lead him astray. And the issur le'yarbo le'noshim el'shmeine esrei refers to wives who are not kasheres who might be mysteriousus liboy. The pasuk forbids marrying even one wife who would lead him astray. Rather, he may not marry more than 18 wives, even if they are as righteous as Abigail. And so the issur refers even to kasheres who will not be mysterious as liboy. The Gemara explains Rabbi Yehuda darish time of the krah. Rabbi Shimon lay darish time of the krah. Yehuda uses the mitzvah's reason to determine its specific halachas, and so he holds that the king is only forbidden to marry more than 18 wives who might lead him astray, while Reb Shimon does not use the mitzvah's reason to infer specific halachas, and so he holds that the king may never marry more than 18 wives even if they would not lead him astray. However, the Gemara asks, "So ipcha shemina lehu?" In the Mishnah Masech Debam Metzia, they take opposite positions. Almana bein shehi aniya bein shehi ashira eim mashkin and oisa de Reb Yehuda. Yehuda holds that the Torah forbids taking collateral from any widow. Shimon Omer, Ashira Mamashkin Naisa, Aniya Ein Mamashkin Naisa. Reb Shimon holds that the Torah only forbids taking collateral from a poor widow because Atachayav Lahachzula, Vata Masiya Sheim Rab Bishchanesel. Since he will have to visit her daily to return the collateral, it will give her a bad reputation in her neighborhood. And the Gemara there explains Reb Yehuda Loi Darish Time of the Krah, Reb Shimon Darish Time of the Krah. Reb Yehuda does not infer halachas from the reason, while Reb Shimon does. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda lay darish time of the krah. Generally, Rabbi Yehuda does not infer halachas from the reason, and so one may not take collateral from any widow. However, the case of the king is different because v'shani hocha de mefarish krah ma'itama le'yabo le'noshim mishum de le'yaser. The Torah explicitly gives the reason that the king may not marry because wives marry additional wives because they might lead him astray, implicitly permitting him to marry additional righteous women. On the other hand, Reb Shimon holds be'alma darshin in time of the krah. Generally, Reb Shimon does infer halachas from the reason, and so one may take collateral from a wealthy widow. However, the case of the king is different because lichta rachmanu layar b'vana yadana my time mishum d'layaser. We would understand the reason even if the Torah would not state it, and we would use this rationale to limit the prohibition to women who might lead him astray. Therefore, by explicitly stating b'layaser levavay, the Torah is teaching us afula achas from a serious liboy harezal layisena. The Torah is stating a distinct prohibition against marrying even one wife who might lead him astray. The prohibition against additional wives must refer even to righteous women. The Gemara cites two other opinions. He may not marry more than 24 wives. Or he may not marry more than 48 wives. The Gemara explains the machlokes as follows. The pasuk lists six wives of David HaMelech and then says, "Ema'at v'yisifalach kehena b'kehena, I would add to you like these and like these." Our Mishnah holds kehenashis v'kehenashis. The word kehena refers to another six, and the word v'kehena refers to another six, to havalu tamni srei, for a total of 18 wives. The second opinion holds kehena tarti srei. The first kehena adds another six for a total of 12, v'kehena esven v'arba. And the second for Kehena doubles this amount for a total of 24. The third opinion, Darish Vav, expounds the extra letter Vav of the second for Kehena, doubling the amount of 24 for a total of 48. The Gemara continues with matters related to David HaMelech. Arba meis yiladim hoyili leDavid, bekulim b'nei yifas toyer hayu. David HaMelech had 400 young men who were born from Yifei Toyer, non-Jewish women converted during wartime. They all sported non-Jewish hairstyles, sat in golden carriages, and led the troops as they were the strong men of David's household. The Gemara adds, Tamar, Bas Yifas Tayer Haisa. David HaMelech's daughter Tamar was also the daughter of a captive woman. For this reason, the Gemara explains she told David's son Amnon, Dabir no el HaMelech ki lo yimne eini mimcha. Speak to the king and he will surely not withhold me from you. Now, Achtei mihabe sharilei? They were both children of David HaMelech, who would certainly not allow a brother to marry his sister. Radhi bas yafas tayer haisa. She was not halachically David's child, and therefore not Amnon's sister, as Rashi explains, koidim shenizgayir rebelev shalom. Her mother had not yet truly converted at the time that she was conceived. The The Gemara digresses to expound the psukim regarding the incident of Amnon with Tamar, and then cites a brisa. Gedr gadol gadr Tamar ba'isasha. When Tamar publicized what happened to her, she helped create a great barrier against the recurrence of such an incident, because people commented, "Lebnois malachim kach, lebnois hadyetis, alachas kama v'kama. Im letznuis kach, leprutis, alachas kama v'kama." If this could happen to a modest princess, certainly it could happen to immodest commoners. Therefore, ba'isasha, gazral yichid de penuya, at that time the Rabbanim forbade seclusion by a man and even an unmarried woman. The king may only acquire enough horses for his chariots. The Gemara adds, if he has even a single horse that is idle, he transgresses this prohibition. However, he may maintain a surplus of horses for his needs. The Mishnah continues, and he should only amass enough wealth to pay his army's annual wages. And the Gemara adds, laharvacha mutter. It's permitted for him to amass the permitted amount generously without being exacting. The Gemara comments, "Memnei ma lo neskalu taimei Torah." The Torah did not reveal the reasons for the mitzvahs because sharei shtei mekrais neskalu taimen nichshol behen gadol ha'olam. There are two mitzvahs whose reasons were revealed, and the great Shlomo HaMelech stumbled and transgressed them. K'siv le'yarba le'nashim amar Shlomo ani arba v'lo'yaser. Shlomo was confident that he would not be led astray, and yet the pasuk says, "Vayihi le'izdik neshlomo nashav hitus levavoy." Similarly, k'siv le'yarba le'susim amar Shlomo ani arba v'lo'yashiv. Shlomo was confident that he would not be tempted to return to Mitzrayim to acquire horses, and yet the pasuk says, "Vateitze merkavim Mitzrayim b'sheish v'gaimer." Mishnah continues, "V'kaisav le'sefer Torah l'shmoy." The king is commanded to write a sefer Torah and keep it with him at all times. Yatzal mochama meitziyima nichnasu machnisiyimai. When he goes to and returns from war, he brings it with him. Yeshiv bedin he imai meisiv he kenegdai. It's with him when he judges and when he eats. Shenema b'haisi imai b'kara b'kol yemei chayev. It should always be with him. The Gemara adds, "Bavad shalo yisna b'shalav isav." He does not fulfill his obligation if he inherits a sefer Torah. Although the pasuk says va'ata kisvul chem asashira and so hed yitnami, every Jew is commanded to write a sefer Torah. The Gemara explains kaisiv l'shmoi shtei seiros achashi yitzav nechnes imai va'achashi manachas lebeis kenazav. Unlike a commoner, a king is commanded to write two sefer Torah. One stays with him at all times, and the other remains in his storehouse. And the Brais of Nafcha Beis adds, Aisa shayetze b'nechneses imai, Aisa kemin kemeya b'toyla b'zroi. The scroll that stayed with him constantly was bound to his arm like an amulet, as the Pasuk says, Shavise Hashem l'negdi samet. The Gemara digresses to discuss various scripts and languages used at different times and cites several opinions. B'tchila nitna Torah li'Yisrael b'ksav ivri v'loshon ha'kodesh. At first, the Torah was given in Ivri script, an ancient alphabet of larger letters used by Bnei Eva Hanar, and in the Hebrew language. Chazav v'nitlam b'mei Ezra b'ksav Ashuris v'loshon Arami. In the times of Ezra, they changed to Ashuri script, the letters we use today in our Sefer Torah, but in the Aramaic language. Subsequently, Berlehem l'Yisrael k'sav Ashuris v'loshon HaKadosh. They chose the combination of Ashuri script and Hebrew. Accordingly, the Gemara explains, Lama nikrishma Ashuris, sha'ali mo'am ma'ashur. The term Ashuris connotes the language's ascension from Ashur. A second opinion, b'tchila b'ksav zen netar l'Yisrael. The term was originally given in k'sav Ashuris. Kivin shachatu nehapach lehen l'royetz. After they sinned, they forgot it and used k'sav ivri. Kivin shachazu behen echziru lehem. After they returned from exile, k'sav Ashuris was returned to them. Accordingly, the Gemara explains, lama nekrishma Ashuris, shemu usheris b'ksav. The term Ashuris means it is the choicest of scripts. K'sav zeh loy neshtana kol ikar, the Torah was given and always written in Ashuri script.